It wouldn't be a live cast if I didn't start out muted. Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, depending on where you're at. Welcome to this July 7th episode of Partner First, where we're bringing you subject matter experts, hot topics, and vendors of note that MSPs around the world should know about. And today is absolutely no different. Today, we're going to be covering how to protect the SMB community, contemporary lessons from my good buddy, Vince Chrysler at Darkcubed. I got a chance to first hook up with him at CompTIA, CompTIA event. And then, hey, Dallin, I see you in the chat. Nice to, thanks for joining us, dude. I really love what he's doing. Got a chance to hang out with him a couple times since. Most recently, the IT Nation Secure. So without much further ado, let's bring Vince on. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Hey, hey, hey. Great to see you again.
Same here, man. You know, tell us a little about yourself, you know, how you came to be at Darkcubed and a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I've been a geek ever since I was little, playing with my first Commodore 64, you know, those sorts of things. Computer science major in college, went off into had the opportunity to serve in the Air Force as a communications officer, served in the Pentagon, went over to the White House for a while where I was a presidential communications officer on the road with President Bush, which was a pretty cool gig. And then I became the chief information security officer at the White House, which was a really cool opportunity. Great chance to see operational cyber when you're getting targeted by some of the most sophisticated folks in the world. Spent about 5.5 years after that over at Department of Homeland Security, doing some of the national cybersecurity work there, protecting federal government, state and local government, and critical infrastructure. And it was kind of those experiences that gave me this idea behind Darkcubed. And I said, there's got to be a better way to protect SMB. You got to find a way to automate this, make it different, solve some of these problems that nobody seemed to be solving. So that's how I ended up here.
So a little bit of experience, DOD, Pentagon, White House, Homeland Security. So you have a little bit of experience in the security realm. Wow.
Yeah, it's been a blessing, you know, to get a chance to see cyber from so many different angles.
That's awesome. And for those of you that that heard me cut out a little bit, playing around with new gear, the studio is always in flux, so I apologize if I cut out. We'll do our best to fix it.
Would we be techies if we weren't trying new gear all the time? Come on.
Always, we're the guinea pigs, right? That's the way it goes. What is Darkcubed? I mean, besides a really cool name, I want to play that video game when I get home. So what is it?
Our focus, I have some slides here that I'm not going to spend a ton of time on, but I can run through them here for you real quick. First off, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're doing, and we're really focused on SMB. So if you're focused on the enterprise, if you don't manage firewalls, just go flip over and binge watch an episode, put us on mute till Ray starts talking again. It'll be more interesting to you. When I was at the White House, one of the things I learned is kind of how do you do efficient protection? And, you know, when they have an event for the president, they don't let everybody in and have really good security, right? They screen people before they come in the door and they say, look, this guy has a criminal background. Whether or not he intends to do something bad, I'm not going to let that bad actor in the door. And, you know, I don't see us doing that necessarily as much in cyber. We have these big generic block lists that your firewall can't handle. But we're really focused on, you know, how do I detect bad activity as quickly as possible and shift left and all this other sort of stuff. And my answer is, why don't we just knock down the bad stuff as quickly and easily as possible up front? Another great example I like to
that's the challenge, right? Like getting that data so we can knock it down quickly. It's not a, and it seems to be like this constant chase of, do you have gear big enough to process data quickly? Do you have and block it if it is aware of the content, how do you get the data out there quickly? It's like this never ending battle.
That's a huge differentiator for us that I probably don't focus on enough is a lot of people start with the idea of like, there are hundreds of millions of bad things. So how do I stop them all? And that's a really hard technical problem because you need heavy gear to be able to support that. You need, you know, all sorts of things. And our answer is, well, you should only stop the bad things that are actually targeting you. And so rather than thinking about it as a data dump, I think about it as a game of go fish where it's like, look, if we know that's bad, that's targeting you, you should block it. Rather than filling up your block list with all these other things that causes your firewall to melt down into a heap of lead.
That's a double-edged sword though, right? Like, how do you know you need to block something until it's attacking you, but you know, it's very reactive. That doesn't put you behind the eight ball?
A little, but what it requires then is a really efficient infrastructure to identify, detect, and block. Like, how quickly can you make that chain of events happen? And I could, as we get drinking on another podcast, go through like some of this game theory stuff. Like, I like the game theory aspect of this. And it's like, you know, if a bad guy attacks you and it's blocked right away, he knows it's blocked. If the bad guy does a scan and it starts to work and then it stops, he doesn't know why. Right. And so I kind of like the game theory aspect of this a little bit, although it's a little bit more esoteric.
I like it. So you're battling it with efficiency and speed.
Exactly.
And thereby releasing some of the resources you would need to have these enormous block lists. So you're only using the stuff at point in time when needed versus having this ridiculous unused store of resources. That makes a lot of sense to me. Okay.
Yeah. And if you have a Sonic wall, like that block list can only have like 2,000 items in it. So which 2,000 items are you going to block? And the answer is the most recently seen 2,000 bad things.
I mean, come on. We all know everybody's using enterprise pans with full BGP tables. And I mean, you know, I have a little 5-person mechanic shop down the street. They have a $50,000 firewall. It's pretty normal.
So, right.
Okay.
Yeah. The other example I like to use for this is like, you know, car hopping. I don't know if you have this happen in your neighborhood, where like in the middle of the night, like some guys or gals, whoever they are, we're, you know, gender neutral here, that will come down the street and like try your door handles. And if your door's open, they're going to steal stuff. And it doesn't matter how sophisticated or advanced the security mechanisms are in that car. If you just leave that basic car unlocked, you're out of luck. And so how do we think about smart security, making sure those doors are locked, making sure we pick the basic things up first? I always say
The biggest mistake I made was my wife got us to join we have Ring at home. And so like the neighborhood app for Ring. So you get those constant alerts. Somehow it thinks my neighborhood is 40 miles away. But you get those constant alerts, you know, kids around the neighborhood checking the doors of cars and checking doors of houses. And it seems like never ending.
Throwing a micro tick at it. I love micro tick.
There you go.
Thanks, Tom.
It is.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on little things, but like, you know, what we're seeing in the SMB is, you know, people think about this idea, like, I'm not a target, right? Like, nobody's going to attack me. I'm just a dentist office. I'm just a car dealership. I'm just a small accounting firm. You know, what we've seen happen over the last handful of years is like these tools that are available to hackers, like, I don't know if you've messed around with MassScan, but you can download MassScan, spend a couple minutes configuring it and scan the entire internet. They say in 5 minutes. Right. And we've seen this, you know, our good friends over at Gray Noise, I love what they're building there. But they have such great evidence of 0 days popping and the entire internet getting scanned for these. And, you know, how do you defend this as a MSP protecting SMBs? And it's just a tough challenge.
I mean, between that and, you know, Shodan, and I mean, Shodan's always a good time, right? Like, that's just anything new comes out, you just go quickly to Shodan and just go check what you can find. And it's like, exactly. And I know with most MSPs, the struggle is not, you know, because we all hate FUD. I've yet to see an MSP that's like, I love FUD. But the truth of the matter is these scans are happening nonstop, right? Like Colin in the chat, he's a service provider like me. So, you know, we're running internet infrastructure and we see the scans all the time. This is just like a daily occurrence. Yes, we have to monitor for this stuff, but, you know, it's like waking up and having coffee. It's pretty normal. But, you know, to us, we know what's going on, so we know what to do about it. But the average client doesn't think they're getting scanned when realistically they really are. They're getting scanned, you know, hundreds of times a day. It's not uncommon.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I was on the stage at one of these shows recently where the issue of FUD came up. And I hate FUD, right? I think it's one of the worst sales tactics ever. We try to be just like blunt, honest truth. But FUD is actually a way that I think MSPs need to be thinking about selling this with their customers, but it needs to be backed up with evidence, right? How do you say, not only are you being targeted, but here's some proof that you're actually being targeted, and this is why we need to protect your network. So, you know, it's a great point. It drives me crazy sometimes. And I guess there is some FUD in here, like I'm quoting stats, but I think it's overdone sometimes. Did I lose you there, Ray? Aha. Ray is we have some bits and bytes going on. So I'll cover, you know, one of the things we talk about is, you know, a firewall is an okay place to start. It has some decent goodness to it, right? Like they can block, you can put rules in, you can import some block lists, but there's a lot of downsides to a firewall. You know, the technical expertise required is key. You know, if you seem to have like, if you're managing 55 firewalls and you have to have a tech log into each of those 55 firewalls to manage stuff, you know, that's brutal on your bottom line. And there are a bunch of stats over here that I won't go too much into, but, you know, cyber criminals can penetrate 93% of the companies that are out there. And that's just because like that firewall that, you know, hopefully most SMBs have firewalls, a lot of them don't, but it's really easy to bypass. And so kind of that's just kind of one of those bottom lines that we focus on. Are you back here, Ray?
Yeah, I'm back. We have three internet connections here bonded with, you know, bonded and going to a CDN to, you know, go distribute it out of the data center. And apparently that's still not enough. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous here. But I appreciate you going through and keeping this on. I don't even need to be here for this. You got this. You and Simon are good. So.
To kind of keep going here, then, you know, we kind of understand that firewall is a good basic place to start. But then, you know, our approach is how do you add active defense against that firewall? And that doesn't mean like putting in a SIM tool and hiring a bunch of analysts that you can't afford that just doesn't make sense. And so for us, what we're doing is we're integrating with that existing firewall. So whether it's a Palo or Sophos or a pfSense, we have a lot of folks using pfSense firewalls just because of the affordability there. Most of those commercial firewalls have the ability to send syslog or netflow out, which we can parse in our SaaS infrastructure to pull out the metadata. And the metadata I really care about is like source and destination IP, port and protocol, data volume, timestamp. And then we can run that against a robust threat intelligence capability and then bounce back blocking instructions back to your firewall. And so you have this fully automated, no human in the loop process to identify threats, prioritize what you're going to block and block. And what, you know, what a lot of our MSPs love is, you know, it's very quick and easy to set up, you know, very preset instructions that we have on our support portal. Once you've gone through a firewall, you know, you can configure another one probably in 5 minutes, super fast and easy. And that's
efficiency you were talking about, right? Make it fast and easy. I like it.
Exactly. Yeah. And reducing friction. I mean, that's one of my early lessons learned when I started this company. And, you know, any entrepreneurs out there, like friction is a killer. And, you know, we started hardware like a lot of companies do, where it's like, okay, it's really simple. Just drop it off of a SPAN port and it works. And it's really hard to get people to sometimes plug in a box, and that box is going to fail on you at the worst times, and the power is going to go out and it's not going to reboot the way it's supposed to. And so for us, you know, move into a SaaS infrastructure was just critical for us.
I see the Ubiquiti logos added on there. I know we had that conversation back in Chicago. So can you talk a little about that? Because a lot of MSPs use it. I mean, I joke, but obviously I like PAN in my data centers, but most of my MSP clients were Sophos, SonicWall, then Sophos, but Ubiquiti's out there. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because they're not known for being easy to work with.
They are not. And I actually, you know, we have a whole dev team, but I wrote the initial integration for that Ubiquiti, and then they cleaned it all up for us. But Ubiquiti's tough because they don't play well with others necessarily, don't have simple integrations. We kind of quasi supported the USG, but with all these new Dream Machines UDMs that are coming out, like we had to come up with a way to support it. And, you know, we all put our heads together. We did a lot of work as a team, and now we're fully supporting the USG, the UDM. We have a beta for the UXG, and it'll probably never come out of beta because it doesn't survive a reboot. It won't survive a firmware upgrade. The biggest challenge is how to hook into a Ubiquiti. These UDMs, I don't know if you've messed with them much, but they have basically Docker containers running on them. So you have to find ways to hook into that Docker container. And then we built our own custom Docker container to send data back up to Darkcubed. So that's been a big one. And the other big one, the other big one is WatchGuard. We just announced a beta for full blocking support for WatchGuard yesterday. And that's going to be coming full GA probably in another 30 days once we get through those beta deployments.
Very nice. Yeah, I a lot of my friends are using WatchGuard and Fortinet, especially with, you know, but everybody's complaining about shortages. So realistically, everybody's using whatever they can get today. But you know, if they had the choice, yeah, a lot of Fortinet, a lot of WatchGuard are out there.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's funny. I don't know if it's regional, but you go to a lot of these shows, and some folks have, you know, you see a lot of WatchGuards on one show. You see a lot of Sonic Walls on the other. You see Calyptics firewalls. I don't know if you've come across the Calyptics folks, but
yeah,
it's a great company out of Charlotte that we really like, and you know, we're looking to partner with as we go forward. So, you know, it's for us, it's how do we focus on all the firewalls and meet people where they are and make it as easy as possible on them.
Very nice. So, here you, and we're not afraid of cursing here. So you're not a, you want people to be sure you're not full of shit.
Exactly.
So, tell us about this.
As a technical founder in my CRM, my head of sales, like, always yells at me for this, but I hate sales. I think sales is like, you know, as a technical guy, what I want to be able to do is I don't want to have to sit through a demo. I don't want to have to sit through a bunch of crap. I just want to be able to try your product out and use it. Yep. And, you know, we do make you sit through a demo call. It's a 30-minute call. It's very efficient. It can be 15 if it needs to be. But most importantly, we put it in our customers' hands to try it out, because there's so many people saying they're doing things that they're not doing. And you've got to be able to see through that, and you got to make it as easy as possible for these, for kind of the MSP community that's just trying to find ways to serve their customers better.
So how complicated is setting up something like this? I mean, I know you're leveraging, you know, the API and stuff like that, but what's painless to configure? Yeah, you're answering before I ask. Okay, never mind.
So yeah, that was not planned. That was not planned. Yeah. I mean, for us, there's no hardware or software. Because we integrate with the firewalls, because our approach here is, you know, how do we use the stuff that's in the firewall? You send syslog to us, you subscribe to the blocklist back. It's really fast and easy, and it's 100% automated. You don't have to log in to our platform after you set it up to do anything, and we'll kick out a monthly report every 30 days as a proof of value.
That's awesome. Are you integrating with any PSA or MM platforms? Is that planned at all as far as like alerting and that kind of thing?
We're thinking about it. Our core focus today continues to be kind of streamlining the platform, supporting more firewalls. And that's why you're seeing like stuff like the Ubiquiti and WatchGuard roll out. We're looking at one of the things we're focusing on is expanding beyond the firewall. So how do we support, integrate with some endpoint agents that are out there? And then also how do we do things like integrate with the Graph API in Office 365 to be able to identify suspicious logins?
Yeah, I see a question here from Dallin asking, is this similar to API to ban? For those that don't know, API to ban is works with fail to ban. Pulls in their block list, adds it to your firewall tables automatically.
Yeah, and you know, there are a lot of good services like the fail to ban stuff. I love, because like you can have an army of servers out there that are finding people brute forcing, you know, attempting to brute force, sending that back to the mothership and using that to block. And that's, you know, that's one of our data sources. It comes from data like this, right? The challenge is, and it, again, this is kind of a little bit more of an esoteric discussion, but if you subscribe to a block list, you're subjecting yourself to the block list, right? It's binary. You're either going to block it or not. And if there's a false positive on that block list, you're blocking it. You know, our approach is, how do you look at a bunch of different sources of intelligence? And I call it signals-based threat intelligence. How do you look at, you know, 60, 70 different sources of threat intelligence over time and make a determination of how likely is this to be bad right now? And, you know, that determination has a level of badness, which is like good, neutral, or bad, one, two, or three, right? And then low, medium, or high confidence. So there's a score of 1 to 9. 9 is high threat, high confidence. 7 is high threat, low confidence. And that intelligence built on top of these block lists limits that false positive challenge significantly.
That makes sense. So you're pulling from multiple sources. You're qualifying those sources, I imagine, in some way. Yep. What about if there's you know, a false positive or something like that? What recourse does that MSP have?
It very, very, very rarely happens. But when it happens, like somebody will let us know and we'll research it. The way the algorithm's built out is like, if it just shows up on one list once, that's not weighted very heavily, right? Because that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. If it shows up on multiple lists, then it inspires more confidence. If it's been around for a while longer, it inspires more confidence. And we also, you know, we're aggregating, we received a patent on part of our technology that we have somewhat implemented, but we're aggregating everybody's data anonymously into a shared data set. And so we're able to use that for things like a noise filter, right? So the ability to say, somebody said in one of our data sources, say like Alien Vault OTX, we're connected into their API. So some analyst reports that a certain IP is bad and they say 8888 is a bad IP. Rather than trusting that, we say, well, let me look at how noisy that is amongst our customer base. 95% of our customers have seen it 30 million times. We're going to ignore it and drop it. Right. And so you build in this intelligence that a human might have into these algorithms, into the system. And you won't hear me use AI and, you know, AI and ML because I hate those terms. but there's a lot of intelligence built into our algorithms.
You sound like Slagle now. He hates when people mention AI and ML. It's really just a bunch of if-then statements. So, exactly. Okay. So what does the MSP program look like? Because, you know, we're focused on MSPs on this call. So what do their programs look like?
You know, I think I'm actually sharing the wrong. I'm going to share a different one. Imagine that. Because I've got a good slide about built on that.
And those of you in the chat, I mean, remember, if you have any questions or anything, this is not a death by PowerPoint. Vince loves taking questions. He loves, you know, I was part of the fun in Chicago getting to drill down and find out exactly, you know, ask a bunch of questions, find out exactly what's going on. So let us know. Do you have anything? Are you using anything like that? I know Dallin and I are using API to ban in some capacity. I believe Dallin is. I don't want to speak for him, but pretty common for service providers. Oh, we have Tim Golden asking, show some reports. If bad, then function bad. Bad. Yeah, that's pretty. I mean, you just built AI, dude. Dallin, congrats, man. Let's let's get that patent. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Did ask about reports. So if after you discuss the partner program, you know, or whichever way you want to do it.
Yeah, I talked a little bit about kind of the threat intelligence, and I can go deep into that. I just don't want to bore folks. You know, automated blocking is key. The reporting is key. And this is one of like our most loved features. And, you know, I get it from a business standpoint. As a techie, like sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to see a lot more detail. But, you know, our customers love these reports. They're simple. They're streamlined. They're delivered once a month to our MSPs who can then hand it over to their customer to say, look at how I protected you this month. And so here's an example of a report for a school district, right? It's saying, you know, how many threats have been seen, how many new threats were seen that month, is auto blocking set up, how many threats were blocked. And this is as simple as it gets. And we're building in as part of a development sprint now, some additional customized reporting for folks. We're building in the ability to white label these reports. But yeah, it's just, you know, just the reporting for us is all about proof of value. And then I can show you around the UI a little bit. Yeah. On the MSP side, on the MSP side, we're looking at like, you know, we have a tiered pricing system and it's super simple. You know, we deliver this to the MSP. We sell channel only. We sell it to you starting at $50 a month per firewall. You pay as you go, no long-term commitments. And you can see, you know, if you're an MSP with 10 firewalls, you can make $12,000 a year just by deploying this. And each firewall is going to take 5 to 10 minutes to set up and you really don't have to log in and do everything else. On the larger end, you know, as you're getting up to price points and cuts, you know, that one that may have 200 firewalls, $36 a firewall as you get discounted down, you know, that's over $250,000 a year of profit that you're going to rake in from just getting this stuff set up. And you don't need extra analysts monitoring the system. Doesn't take a lot of time and energy. You get those reports, you show value back to your customers.
Those reports actually look pretty nice compared to some of the other junk I've seen out there. So that's pretty sweet. I mean, people love graphs, and you're not going to deep dive into this, right? The idea is to have talking points,
right.
You know, in your QBRs or whenever you're discussing this stuff. So I like that.
Exactly. You know, going back to a point I made earlier about like this FUD topic, you know, how do you go back to your customer and be like, look, you know, you can deploy this and, you know, we're giving folks the ability to give this for 30 days free to a customer if they're having trouble selling customers on it. The ability to deploy this on a customer and then come back to them and say, look, you're actually being targeted. These are real threats from China, from other places. that we're actually seeing on your network, you need to invest in security or something bad's going to happen.
So we have Tim Golden asking, can you pull push data between a SIEM, like ConnectWise security or any other SIEM?
We can do, as part of our alerting capabilities, we can syslog alerts back out. So you can send it to other places. We send it over email. We don't have like a full integration into Perch at this point.
Gotcha. You
know, yeah, it's pretty simple and streamlined the way we have it set up today.
Yeah, and I think the question, we do firewall hardware as a service, we can tie it in. Yeah, I mean, that'd be the idea, right? The whole idea is you include your security stack. You're not letting the client... I'm not a fan of having the client pick what security products you use or don't use. You know, if I go into surgery, I'm going to let my doctor pick what tools he's using. I'm not going to start picking them. you know, so... Yeah. Yeah, I just said ConnectWise Security. I don't know if that's the right name for Perch now. I know it's ConnectWise something. Maybe ConnectWise Seam. I don't know. Like, he knows. Create tickets into PSA. You mentioned email alerts at least for now, right? So, I mean, that could always go into a PSA.
Yeah, and I can show you the UI if you want to take a minute and do that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let me stop sharing, share the right window. There you go. So, you know, the way we've set up our user interface, is I kind of describe it as two use cases. One is fire and forget, and two is if you want to do a little bit of investigation and research into what's going on. And so on the fire and forget, the question is how quickly can you set up a customer and then never log in again? And so for us, you know, you can come in into the firewall configuration. You can deploy a firewall just by saying, yep, I'm ready to deploy a new firewall. We'll call this OIT VoIP demo. Syslog sensor. And boom, you know, that gives you the information that you need to configure your firewall with. So the configuration is that fast. And then we come in and we say, you know, I want to automatically block at a level 9, 7, 8, or 9. You can send webhook notifications into Slack. We have a lot of folks using Slack to kind of monitor different customers. Or other systems that'll do a webhook there. You can set up notifications here, right? I can say, and this is where it kind of gets a little bit, we have some Boolean sorts of stuff where you can say, you know, if the destination IP or source IP or the amount of data or threat score, we can do syslog, email, or Slack notifications here, right? And so the ability to kind of come in and just set up a notification really quickly. One example I always like to highlight is like the, you know, if you look at the Velexity report that came out last year around kind of email attacks against Exchange, you can say, if any of those source IPs show up, send me an email that says, hey, this showed up in the Velexity report. Right. Again, our focus is all about how do you do this as quickly and easily as possible without a lot of resources.
It's funny. And, you know, the different service provider groups I'm in, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm in a lot of MSP communities. On the voice provider, you know, we have our groups too. And then, you know, you have voice ops and Nanog and all the other fun stuff. But it's funny because when you start seeing attacks from certain IP addresses, we share it around. And so, you know, you start looking into your own stuff and you see those same IP addresses almost every time. So, you know, that information sharing is awesome. And so it's nice to know that it's blocked, but like, you know, it would be very nice to, instead of saying, okay, well, go and make sure these IP addresses blocked, to go back and say, just alert me if this happens, because I know already, you know, Darkcube is taking care of it. That's pretty cool.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. A lot of, you know, blood, sweat, and tears have gone into building this and making it as simple and usable as possible. You know, there's a lot to go into, but, you know, the other thing I can say is, like, we have our threat data table, and I kind of call this an Excel spreadsheet where you can search, sort, and filter. We have a bunch of filters here, you know, where you can filter by times and dates and by IPs and that sort of stuff. But fundamentally, you can just jump in and say, you know, what's going on with this IP? You know, here's an IP from the Netherlands that's targeted us 16 times between June 12th and July 7th. It's automatically blocked. Looks like they were targeting SSH, right? They hit SSH on two different servers of ours. And then the responses came back and no data went to them. Right, so how do you kind of say, look, are these things getting through or not? Is there actually data associated with them or not? You can and kind of what's going on in this network, all without, you know, having to jump into a SIM or do all that complexity.
Very cool. Yeah, Tim makes a comment, you know, wait, set and forget isn't, aren't we supposed to be sticky? Set and forget and sticky, different things, in my opinion. I just because it's working and, you know, something you want to keep there constantly doesn't mean I want to be working on it constantly. You know, my favorite thing is the thing I can just sit back and watch or even not have to worry about watching. So that's...
Part of the stickiness there is also that monthly report, right? The ability to every 30 days to say, hey, I haven't done anything in this system. My customer's paying me for it. And every 30 days I get a nice PDF that I can give to my customer and say, we protected you this month. Aren't you happy? Right. And like that ability to show value and show proof every month, I think is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's, how are you seeing MSPs just include this? Are they selling it as a value add, or what, how are they incorporated into their processes?
We see a whole range. Some folks are just pricing it into their stack and, you know, not even telling their customers that, like, this is just a mandatory part of our stack. Those are the customers that we're seeing be more successful. I think it's my advice in the MSP community is the, you know, your customers trust you. Or they hopefully trust you. And, hopefully. You know, as you give them recommendations on things to do, you know, as you shift products and services around, like you shouldn't, not your eye doctor, but your heart surgeon doesn't say, well, should I use this medicine or that medicine? Should I use this tool or that tool? Yeah. Right. They just tell you, trust me, I'm going to take care of you. And the MSPs that we see being really successful out there today are the ones that are kind of taking that approach and kind of shifting their stack as they need to, adding tools in and not letting their customer choose. But we see a lot of customers that are using this to upsell. You know, you may be an MSP that has a pretty low monthly rate for your customers and you want to be able to try to make some more money off some of those customers. Or you may have really small customers that, you know, can't afford much at all. And so we kind of give the ability to tick in and say, you know, you can price this however you think makes sense for your customers. And, you know, we have folks that we'll work with in terms of, you know, what are creative ways to deliver this. But it's all about supporting those MSPs and building their businesses.
I mean, $50 a month isn't, that's one of those, like, I've talked to friends about, like, there are certain costs that, like, or certain thresholds that when you get to this number, you have to think about it. And under that number, it's just do it. You know what I mean? It's, you know, $50 a month doesn't, to gather multiple sources, to know that it's being qualified by really smart people. And, you know, especially when you're doing that thresholding, like you say, you're weighting the data. It's not just some IP address popped up on a list somewhere. That makes a big difference. So, protecting a site, especially, I'm a big fan of minimums, you know, for clients anyway.
Yeah.
I do see, you know, the only challenge I see is, like, you know, with the work from home and so many remote workers and distributed stuff like that. But like you said, you're already working on, you know, seeing what you can do about endpoint protection and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So I like that a lot. It's just thinking out loud. Let me see some of the comments here. Just thinking out loud, seeing, I wonder if an undo test done by IP feature is possible for devices that are breached before IPs are identified. That's an interesting one. I would imagine that's something like at your endpoint AV or, you know, I know some AVs have that undo webroot notoriously works some of the time. I can't imagine a firewall vendor being able to do that or any kind of firewall thing, but it's interesting.
It would be a magic patent, dude. That would sell like hotcakes.
It really, really, really would. There's a magic number for MSPs, absolutely. $50 definitely below that magic number. Especially $50 per site. I mean, you're not talking, it's volume based. Yeah. You're not talking query based, user based.
Correct.
Just $50 per firewall. That's kind of a no brainer in my opinion.
And there's always been discussions like, are there better ways to price things based on volume or other thing? And we always come back to like, it just needs to be simple. Like this just needs to be simple and easy for the MSPs. And
I see you.
Anything we can do to make it easier, the better.
You're adding a lot of value also to those firewalls. Like, you know, Sophos 48, you know, Palo, I mean, they have, you know, IDS, IPS sources, you know, they have their sources for data too. So it's not, you know, you're adding to that, but something like a Unify device does not, right? The UDM,
right?
It has no mechanism for that. So you're adding quite a bit to it. Speaking of devices that have no sources, PFSense, OpenSense, you ever consider getting into that space?
We support PFSense.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of people using this.
My my good buddy Tom Lawrence will be very happy to hear that.
And it's, you know, we have one MSP in particular. It's a great partner that, you know, has really started to source a lot of these PFSense because their answer is like, most of these firewalls are expensive and complex and hard. And what I really want to be able to do is fold in something like Darkcubed and automate protection and reporting. Yeah. And so if I just do a dirt cheap PFSense and put Darkcubed on top of it, like, it's a pretty efficient way to go.
I mean, I have a good friend that, you know, he doesn't believe in having really high-end firewall, and he's a very successful MSP. I'm not going to call him out because, you know, it's his story to tell, but he doesn't believe in having complex firewalls at client sites. Instead, he does unified devices at client sites, but he implements zero trust end-to-end. You know what I mean? And you know, this would be right in line with what he's doing. You know, and he's it's an interesting model, and he's somebody that a lot of people, you know, trust and respect. So even more reason I don't want to call him out, because I don't want anybody to assume anything. He definitely knows what he's doing. So, but this just increases the capability of those devices exponentially, because, you know, the threat data they're getting becomes so powerful, and I love that.
Exactly,
pretty cool.
Yeah, and life is really hard for managed service providers as it is. I mean, you look at the number of threats that are out there, the challenges that they're facing, the pricing problems, the economy, the staffing problems, and it's just brutal. And so I think, you know, we're just excited to be partnering with folks and trying to make their lives a little easier and a little better.
That's pretty awesome. Let's see. A lot of people trust and respect. Okay, you're not talking about me. I like you. You know, I trust and respect you, Dallin. Nah, he's a good guy. He's a really good guy. So MSPs, they want to get a hold of you, darkcubed.com. Where else are you on the, you're on the interwebs, darkcubed.com, Twitter, Facebook, yeah. Google Plus, the moon. Right.
Yeah. LinkedIn, darkcubed.com. I'm on Twitter, but I don't use it very often. I'm too busy. I don't know how, you know,
I don't either.
Say all that. We're also on some of these Discord channels, like MSP Geek, where we hang out there. So hit us up. We've got a channel in there that we keep an eye on. So, you know, we're going to be at a bunch of shows too. You know, going to be in Reston here on the 11th, ChannelCon. I'm going to be Exchange in Denver at the end of August. So we're on the road a lot.
Okay, very cool. So with that, if nobody has any other questions, I think we can cut it a little bit earlier. I love when something is sweet, simple, and kind of a no-brainer to use, right? Like, you know, 30 days to try it out, make sure he's not full of shit, you know, sign up, do a quick and easy demo, and it integrates with all our favorite products. That seems pretty easy to me. Seems like a no-brainer. So, Vince, thank you so much. Obviously, this we have this available. This will be available immediately on LinkedIn, YouTube, and the podcast. Available so the podcast within 24 hours, the recording's available immediately on the other channels. You can download the presentation, and please contact Vince because it's kind of a badass product. We have some other stuff coming up. Simon, what do we got coming up after this?
Yeah, so we do have a couple of events coming up for us. So we just got wrapped up with the partner first. So the recording will be available right after this. On 7/8 tomorrow at 10 a.m. ET, we have the MSP Dispatch Week Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network. So that'll be a wrap-up of the weekly news in the MSP channel. On Tuesday, we're back with MSP Dispatch at 9 a.m. ET. And then on Tuesday as well at 1 p.m., Ray will be hosting a webinar with the Everything MSP Facebook group, 10 VoIP Myths for MSP, so make sure you join that. And then on Thursday, 7/14 at 6:30 p.m., we're back with the Tech Bar Podcast, episode 39, with Will Young of Barron McKinley, which should be a fun night.
That's awesome. All right, so thank you, MSP audience. Thank you, Vince. And of course comes with the I should have known, given the audience, I should have known the question was going to come. Any plans to support MikroTik, or is it MikroTik? No. I know I mispronounce it all the time.
No.
He said no and suck it, Dallin. Use a better firewall. No. They're awesome. I love the devices. They're incredibly powerful. The problem is, you know, you need a PhD to figure out how to program them. And I almost always end up hiring somebody to program the devices or ask Dallin for support because, you know. Sorry, Dallin. You'll have to live without that. MikroTik. There you go. Anyway, so thank you, MSP audience. Thank you, Vince. I appreciate you. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves and each other.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.